you, Robert. Robert Young is one of our elders here at the church, and appreciate his involvement this morning. We're praying for Dr. Tom Brown, I believe has surgery tomorrow morning as well, so please remember him in your prayers. Last week we started a four-week focus, as you've become aware, through the service here, on encouraging ourselves to be people who share the best things in life with others. The model that we referenced in the message last week was none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of him in the ultimate circle of comfort, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because of God's love for all people, Jesus stepped away from his comfort circle, wrapped himself in human flesh, stepped into the zone of the unknown on our behalf, walked across the cosmos in order to do what? He told us why he did it. To seek and to save that which is lost, those who are lost. Now that's me. He did that for me. That's you. It's every one of us, bar none. It's every person that Jesus took that great walk so that we might have the opportunity, the access to eternal salvation. Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, everything that that word salvation means is all packaged in what Jesus Christ did for us in his walk across the cosmos. We saw last week that we can emulate Jesus by leaving our circle of comfort, walking across a room into the zone of the unknown, to intentionally initiate friendliness with someone that, as we have prayed, as we've committed our day to the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings to our attention, and that's the focus, that's the person that we respond to out of all the potential people that we could have responded to in our day. We also saw that our friendliness and friendship may serve to help that person get a better opinion of Christians and therefore of Christ, because they may be someone that starts at a very negative view of Jesus Christ and a very negative view of Christians. Maybe that hard path where the seed just isn't going to immediately germinate and take root. It may need some breaking up of that hardness. And it may take some kindness, some care, some friendliness, some going the extra mile from a Christian to help someone move into a less negative view, and then someone else comes along and adds to the work, waters what you have been doing, the cultivating that you've been doing before that person comes to the line of faith and prays and receives Jesus Christ as personal Savior. A number of people this week have let me know that they took walks across the room this past week. It's been very exciting to hear reports, and I heard of another one this morning. I haven't incorporated into the message, and there may be a number of other ones there. I love the stories. Email them to me. I won't report them all, but I would love to hear it. It's certainly very exciting and encouraging. One of them I want to tell you about happened with Karen DeMoe. And this is great process in this. Karen was making use of a gift certificate for a day at the spa that she had received some time before. And so she was making use of this while she was having fingernails and toenails looked after. She took the walk and started engaging the girl in conversation. And in the conversation, it came out that the girl, she identified herself as being Muslim. So Karen took the next best step that you can take, asked her what that was all about. And then the girl said she really didn't know very much about it at all, and that she really wasn't into it that much. Karen responded that she was a Christ follower. She explained that she actually had the Spirit of God living within her, that she has a daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It makes a huge difference in life. And the girl was fascinated by it. She'd never heard that kind of thing before. And asked Karen to make sure that she came back. Now, how tough is that? Spa witnessing. Gentlemen, I can see home budgets changing over the next weeks. If you really want to spread the word of God, you up the spa budget for your spouse. All right? Just walk. Just walk. That's what we want to resonate in our heads. What's the first word in that final commission that Jesus Christ gave to his followers? We call it the Great Commission. What's the first word? Go. That's right. Now, the core of that, the action to be done is to make disciples. But it says, go and make disciples. So scholars tell us that if you could translate that word go as in your going, or as you go through life, in your everyday life, which is just what we've been talking about here. In the movement of regular life, make disciples. So go, step out, walk across the room. What happens after that? Now that I'm into the zone of the unknown, what do I do? What do I think about? What do I pray? And especially, what do I talk about? So this week, we're going to explore what we're calling living in 3D. This provides a framework for operating in the zone of the unknown. It's made up of three phrases, all starting with D. And you probably had that figured out because John let the cat out of the bag early in the service, which was just fine. The first D is developing friendships. Develop friendships. A Christ follower is always got his or her radar turned on for a potential friend, always searching for a new friend. It's a reflection of the heart of God. As the love of Jesus Christ fills our heart and overflows the brim of it, we'll be in constant search mode. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? In fact, we see a pattern contrary to this happening over and over in Christian circles. Now, high school algebra teaches something called direct and indirect variations. Oh no, not math. Well, it's going to be very simple, otherwise I wouldn't be using this as an analogy. Let's say that we're going to evaluate Jake's height and weight. Let's say also that Jake has just hit puberty, and so his height skyrocketed during this past year, and he grew 10% in 1 year. Now, if his height and weight are in direct variation, as one goes up, so does the other, in direct proportion. So if Jake grew 10% taller, then he also gained 10% more weight. Indirect variation would happen if Jake's height and weight went in opposite directions. If he grew taller but lost weight, that would mean the second arrow would go the opposite direction. Well, let's take this kind of analysis and apply it to someone who follows Christ. Let's say that Jane has been walking with Christ for 10 years. Let's go on to Jane's screen. So for Jane, her walk with Christ is thriving. She has newfound care and compassion and concern for people around her. More than anything, she wants those people to experience the same all things new, mind-renewing, total new love just as you are acceptance that she has experienced from Jesus Christ and from her new friends in Christ as she has met the rest of the body. So Jane embraces people, walks with them in their own journey to Christ. In other words, all is as it should be. Direct variation. Jane is walking with Christ and experiencing a corresponding increase in love and acceptance of the exact same people that Jesus loves. Now, over time, Jane sees lots of friends and family come to faith in Christ. It's exciting. Great transformation is taking place. They spend time with each other, chatting about their newfound lives in Jesus Christ. They're chatting and visiting and studying about the adventure of faith. But then a strange thing happens, a turn that is not so good. Jane's life becomes 100% consumed by her friends that love Jesus. Church activities and opportunities keep growing. She's very, very busy. That seems very good, doesn't it? Except that Jane is no longer reaching out. She's losing her enthusiasm for sharing her faith with unconvinced friends, mainly because she has no unconvinced friends in her warm, safe circle of comfort. This is kind of the ugly underbelly of Christian fellowship. If Christ followers aren't diligent to keep it at bay, here's what happens. We have Jane still strong in her own walk with Christ, but at the same time, love for people outside the faith dwindles down. Proximity to the greatest people person ever to walk the planet increases, while proximity to the people who need him decreases. It's the most awful indirect variation known to mankind. This process is what makes the circle of comfort so magnetic. It's here that we find people easy to love. We gain energy just by being with them. But here's what may not be so easy to admit. At the same time, almost everyone has a secret list of people they just can't stand. There are people who treated you poorly. You have reasons for not liking them. But it gets even more complex than that. Some of us don't like entire groups of people. Some of us don't like people who vote differently than we do. Some of us don't like entire ethnic groups or people in a different social or economic level. Ask me to love some people, and I pop up a whole host of qualifiers and filters. And then you know what some of us do? We start horse trading with God. Have you done that? God, I'll make a deal with you. I'll be a Bible scholar. I'll accumulate Bible knowledge. I'll study the Scriptures. I'll be in the Scripture day and night. As long as you get someone else to take the walk across the room. I'll serve in all kinds of committees in the church. I'll just be busy, busy Mrs. Church if you'll just get someone else to walk across the parking lot. Some Christians get so caught up in this aversion strategy that it gets them far from the heart of God in reality. And they actually get annoyed with non-Christians. They begin to go to great lengths to avoid them, maybe even attack them. A separatist philosophy rules their lives. But the problem is, dear friends, as we look at this, they are cutting themselves off from the very people Christ came to seek and save. Jesus showed us right on the cross how incredible and extravagant his grace and his embrace actually is. Do you remember that? As Jesus was dying, there was a career criminal on either side of him, and one of them turned to him. He definitely did not have a stack of good deeds tucked away someplace that he could offer up to Jesus. And yet he asked for divine favor. Do you remember what he said? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Did Jesus filter this guy out? He embraced him with his words. He included him. And we'll meet him someday. There was another time when the Pharisees were trying to catch Jesus in some error, our scripture reading today. They planted a man with a withered hand right in front of Jesus in the meeting house on the Sabbath day. They were using this poor guy as bait to get Jesus to heal him on the Sabbath day, which was against their rules. Jesus was upset that they missed the heart of God toward a needy person. And Jesus broke through all the barriers and healed the man. We need to be given Jesus' vision of people and see that people without Christ are in need. Their soul, their life, their inner person is withered, whether they know it or not, friends. And you carry with you, within you even, the possibility of healing and wholeness. But you need to embrace the person. That one that the Holy Spirit puts in your path, you need to become close to them. Become their friend where they're at, no matter how withered and different and unholy they are. So develop friendships is the first D of the three Ds. The second D is to discover stories. What direction do you go when you take the walk and you meet a potential new friend? Well, you look for proximity points. This can happen even in the way that you connect. Here's another one of the walk across the room stories that happened since last Sunday. Lisa Donahue walked across a store. She happened to see a mom with a toddler the same size as her little Haley. So there was a proximity point. There was something that put them together with something of common interest. And then Lisa happened to be close enough to hear this lady call her little toddler by the same pet name that she uses for Haley. Another proximity point. They've got something to talk about. So this is a huge key to make use of those commonalities, those things that you can share together. And this put Lisa in a great position to discover stories from this other lady. Here's where our love for our neighbors need to guide our next steps. Take a strong interest in your new friends' stories. Talk about their stories. Put a plug in your urge to tell your own stories as a counterpoint to their stories. So many people think that the only response they should have when someone tells them a story is that they should top it with a bigger story of their own. I have met person after person that does that. I'm amazed. And so, friends, it doesn't seem like a very big deal, but it's an important part of living in 3D. Discover the other person's story. Explore the other person's story. Take a genuine interest to build the friendship. How do you do that? Well, one way is to ask a follow-up question about their story rather than plunging into your own story. Your question about something that they've said says volumes to them. You've actually paid attention to their story. They probably don't have very many people because there's some common humanity here of not listening to one another. And so as soon as you repeat something that they've said in their story, they say, oh, you actually heard my words. And you're interested in more detail about it. So you can do that for Christ's sake. God has made you unique, dear friend. And in order to share your unique circumstances and the other person's unique circumstances, God will bring together some common points of interest and experience. And then you can begin to share your experiences that do those common things together that have crossed one another's path. There was another just walk across the room story this past week, and it came from Don Jennings. He walked across a doctor's office. Our people are in some interesting places. He found some common ground in aches and pains. Could any else be there? He saw a lady in quite some distress in the waiting room. She was obviously uncomfortable. And he went to offer sympathy and assistance, if he could help her in any way. And they discovered that they had common ground in back problems. Well, Don, along with offering sympathy and encouragement, found an obus form backrest, gave it to this lady, and she was grateful for that. About that time, they both got called into their respective doctors and into the second level of examining rooms. But you know, there's a biblical principle in what was happening there. It's from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23. Paul writes this. You'll have opportunity to read it sometime. You have the reference noted there. But Paul writes in these verses, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. And then in verse 22 it says, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. So friends, in discovering stories, in genuinely caring about that person, let them set the agenda for sharing by the proximity points that surface. Years ago, I had to train myself to be a learner. I'm really not all that good at chit-chat in social settings, and I knew that was going to be my lot in life, that pastors tend to get into lots of social settings, and I needed to do something in order to be able to enjoy them and to not be like a third left foot. And so what I learned was that I can put myself in the place of a learner with virtually anyone, because all of you have unique experiences that I've never been through. You have some things that you're expert in, primarily yourself, and I don't know information about that. So by being a learner, and people love to be teachers, they love to know that they have something that you don't and they can impart it to you. Learn to ask some questions. Admit that you don't know anything about something of their past experience and express interest in it. By asking good questions, that person can be on a safe topic for them in sharing their own experience. And I can accept their stories without any sense of being judgmental. Now, that may be uncomfortable sometimes, but that's where the level of friendship is at that point. I need to follow Jesus in being radically accepting and full of grace, that they will experience God's love, God's reaching out to them, just as they are experiencing something of God's love through me. So the first two D's, develop friendships, discover stories. The third one, the third D, is discern next steps. The Great Commission has to be carried out along with the Great Commandment. You know what I'm talking about. Great Commandment is all about love, right? Love God, love your neighbor. The Great Commission is about making disciples. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything that Jesus has taught us. We really don't love our neighbor if we don't continue the journey to where they're ready to truly hear about the single greatest gift in all the world. Therefore, to live in 3D, we need to intentionally reflect and pray and plan next steps in these new friendships. And if we don't test next steps, it could be that we'll never gain spiritual ground for the sake of our new friend. This was important in the spiritual journey of our own Ron and Florence Scott. As they look back, they can identify a caring Christian who took a next step. And that step, as they look back and track it, has changed their eternity. So we're going to listen to their story on video, and you watch for the next step that was taken in the relationship with their friend.
We became Christians through our son, Jeff, who was 12 years old, and he was playing hockey at the time, and one of the parents who was a Christian invited him to come to a Christian camp with their son. I personally didn't think that he was worried about us not agreeing to Jeff going to camp, because he was a very confident Christian. He was very confident in his faith, and he was a great person to witness. He wasn't shy about it at all. The fact that it was Christian, because of my background, I was quite pleased that he would go to a Christian camp. And also, it was exciting for the fact that there was hockey players, you know, from the Maple Leafs were to be there, and it was exciting for him.
Well, Paul Henderson and Ron Ellis were the main people at the hockey camp all summer, so I did not know at the time that they were Christians, you know.
When he came back home, he just was encouraging the family, and he kept saying that we needed to look for a new church where the Bible was preached, and eventually that's what we did do. A few years after we started coming to Markham Missionary, I was baptized, and just in recent years, Ron has become baptized.
Well, the father of the boy that invited us, invited Jeff to camp last year at our golf course, he was there with one of our members, and I kind of told him that I hadn't seen him for 30 years probably, and I kind of let him know what had taken place from the time Jeff went to camp until as of now, and he was quite excited about it. So
I just was thinking that how important it is for us to let our light shine, because something as simple as an invitation can turn into something big.
Isn't that a great understatement by Florence? Eh? Something little can turn into something big, and that's just a great story. And we're glad for that. Can you imagine that guy on the golf course 30 years later finding out that that next step, inviting someone to a camp, had led to that much change and that much of people coming to Christ? So sometimes it can be something as simple as giving someone a book as a next step, or a CD, an invitation to a special event, sometimes putting them in touch with another Christian who can meet their need in some practical way, as well as then representing Jesus Christ. Going back to Lisa's story, where she met this lady in the store when she was shopping, after their first meeting, a little later, they unexpectedly crossed paths again out in the mall. And Lisa said when she saw her coming down the concourse in the mall, she heard the words in her head, "Just walk across the room." Isn't that great? People are going to be dreaming that by the time we're finished these 4 weeks. And but she heard those words, and yes, that's what she needed to do. So she walked across the mall and assured the lady that she wasn't stalking her, first of all, to set her at ease, and then suggested that they meet again in a children's play area on another day so that their two little children could get together and play together, and then as moms, they could visit as well. So she gave the lady her phone number. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will nudge that lady to phone Lisa, and that's the prayer at this point. That's as far as it's gone. But that's exactly what the Lord asks us to do, is to take those walks across the room. Well, what about Don Jennings' next step when he was in the examining room of his doctor? It looked like the opportunity to talk to the lady might be over, but while he was waiting again in that room, he got a Gideon's card out and wrote his phone number on the back of it in case he saw the lady again. And when he came out from the doctor's appointment, the somebody's BlackBerry is talking to us. The tech guys tell us that. Inquired after the help that the doctor had offered to her, and then took a risk, offered to pray for her, and she was pleased, and she accepted that offer. So Don prayed. Plus, he promised to continue to pray for her, and then he gave her the card, suggested that if she had other prayer needs, she could phone him, let him know by phone, and she was very grateful for the kindness and the prayer and the offer to pray some more. And Don's words to me were, "Maybe someone else will come along in her life and water what I have shared with her in that setting." That's exactly it. Some of you have lots of contacts with non-Christians, and you have a lot of opportunities to walk across rooms. Some of you go to work with many walk across the room potential new friends every day. And I urge you to pray and ask the Lord to be showing you what you need to do in response to that. Someone within that repertoire of people that you can respond to. In my own experience as a pastor moving here a little over a couple years ago, I found we've got a very busy church. We've got lots of contacts. There was all kinds of more than enough pastoral work for me to do that I could easily absorb myself in the busyness of this church. I would be able to go for weeks at a time without interacting with an unbeliever and still basically be doing my job. So I had to go looking for natural involvement with potential Christians. So many of you know that I've joined a community ball team for the purpose of making non-church friends. For some of you who work with lots of non-believers, a church league is a great balance to that, to give you fellowship with other Christians. I needed to get away from Christians. And it sounds silly, but it was true. Now, I'm at the point of continuing to discern next steps in that. And the Holy Spirit nudged me at the end of last season when one of the team said, "David, you really should come with us after the game for drinks and for lunch." I had been invited before, but I felt like I was too busy. Maybe that wasn't the thing that I should do. But that's where they tell stories, right? That's where they spend time really getting acquainted after having played together on the ball field. And so I need to take that next step. I need to be with them to hear their stories, to learn more about their lives. So pray for me in that next step. Do you find ways of being with people who need the Lord? You know, I have a feeling that somebody here in the congregation should be using our gym just to invite friends and neighbors to come and hang out and play some games together. It's sitting there not being used some of the time during the week, and that's a resource that could be used. You may have other ideas. I read of one lady who had very busy neighbors, and it seemed like she could never connect with them, And one day she got talking to the lady, and she was exclaiming how busy they were in their lives and that they never got around to adequately caring for their dogs and didn't take them for walks enough. So the neighbor volunteered. She loved dogs, and so she volunteered to walk the neighbor's dogs, and through that was able to build a relationship with them. Another man took his own kids to a local sports field, and he invited a neighbor to bring his kids, and they got together a kickball game. Then they agreed that they would each try to build their teams in the neighborhood. And they ended up with 60 to 70 people hanging out at the field one night a week, getting acquainted, forming friendships, and from there able to build relationships to share the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So three D's: developing friendships, discovering stories, discerning next steps. Today I want us to finish by each of you reflecting on your own unique spiritual journey. Whether you have come to belief in Christ or not, you're here today, and that suggests that someone or something has brought you this far on your journey. And I would love to know what some of the next steps people took in your lives. What was it that moved you from being a person who hadn't accepted Jesus Christ to a person that had accepted Jesus Christ? For me, in my life, I would have to write my mother down right away, because in a family situation that could have been quite difficult about it, it was her determination that got us to Sunday school absolutely every week, and motivated my father to actually do that and make sure that we got there. Maybe a Sunday school teacher for you, maybe someone who gave you a Bible, maybe a youth worker or someone that expressed interest, a church family somewhere along the way. I've provided a blank page for you right across from the sermon notes on the insert in the bulletin, and it's titled something about next steps that people took for me. And I would request that you would write down some next step, maybe in point form or paragraph if you wish, and tear that off and hand it to me or to an usher. There's a couple offering plates on the little table right at the sound booth back at the end of the center aisle. And I would love to learn more about next steps that people have taken that have touched your life. So if you would humor me and do that little extra effort this morning as we come to the close of the service, and have a tearing good time as you rip that off and hand it in, I would appreciate it. As you jot down those next steps, as you think about what people did for you, let's thank God for them. Let's worship the Lord and give Him praise for that. And then, in turn, allow the Holy Spirit to be speaking to our lives, that we can be people who live in 3D, taking those next steps to touch people's lives. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that in reality, there have been people that have taken next steps in our lives. God doesn't have any grandchildren, and so each of us had to come and make our own decision for Jesus Christ. And somewhere, somehow, some influence came to our lives that has led us to this place that we're at in walking with Jesus Christ. Thank You for faithful people, people who understood that others needed the Lord. And Father, we pray that our own lives this week will continue to hear Your prompting, walk across the room. And Father, may there be new friendships started this week and some new steps taken to bring glory to You. Thank You for this, Lord. Thank You for Your teaching and Your training in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just while you take a brief pause from your writing, could we stand and sing, "Be Thou My Vision"?